Blog Talk Radio.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word for study this evening, we are looking for the Holy Spirit. Father, to come forward, bring to us the truth of this your word, and to help us to retain knowledge and wisdom, Father, so that we can reach out to others and help to lead them from darkness into light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Father, throughout this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to be talking to you this evening from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll give you a minute to get there. But you know, we all need to really remember what the Lord went through to give you and I salvation. But he gave us so much more than that. Although that would be funny, but he has given us so much more. All right. Let's get in here now. Started here with verse 1. Paul starts out here. He says, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech, are of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. is like most of those that are truly God's called men to preach and teach his word. He's letting them know he did not learn from mankind. He's not coming with that excellency of speech, of schooling and all of that, of mankind. But he's letting them know here in verse 2, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." We don't need, if we are called of God to preach and teach his word, we don't need to go out here and go to school, man's school, to learn how to do it. Because the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher and our guide. Because it's he that gives us knowledge, that gives us the truth, and gives us guidance in how God is wanting each of us to walk in this life here on the earth. And that's what he's letting them know. But Paul, if you remember, he didn't learn from any man. He met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and the light around him was so bright that he was blinded for 3 days. He was led by the hand on into Damascus. And God sent a man to him to bring back his sight and to see that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul was put right into the ministry. And the places he went, he didn't go to any of the other apostles or anything. He was strictly working by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And just as I've told all of you in my testimony, when God brought me off of my deathbed and put me into a well body, he called me then to the ministry. 2 weeks later, I was 1,200 miles away from home preaching a revival that was supposed to last a week. I couldn't get it closed out. I was there for 30 days. I'd spent all my money because I just took enough with me to hold me for a week. I had to call home and get my wife to wire me money. Because I was being taught by the Holy Spirit. For one, I didn't have man's education to be able to even get into seminary school. Think about it. He took this old man when he didn't have enough education to even get into school if I wanted to go. But I found out early I didn't need to, because I knew who my teachers were. And my teachers were the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. They're still guiding me. They are still teaching me to this day. Now, here's three. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul had a lot going on, didn't he? There really wasn't too good. But you see, he still knew who he needed to depend on. Four. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, when we let that Holy Spirit speak through us, he does that by giving us words in our hearts and our minds. That's the way we know what to say and how to bring it out at the time. And those words then come with and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ also. And it has the authority of our Heavenly Father. You see, we don't have and deal with just one of the deity, have and deal with all. There's only one way to heaven. That is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. We have to go through him. But also, it is through him and by the power of Almighty God that we then are anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit that gives us knowledge, wisdom, and the power of God to do what God is calling each one of us to do. That's why I tell a lot of people, because we are living in a day and time to where the world around us has already begun to turn against us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They talk about you. They make fun of you. They'll curse you. But you know, that don't bother me, because they're really not making fun of me. They think they are, because they heard it come through my mouth. But they're not realizing they're making fun of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And when they are calling me a liar, it's not me. They're calling him a liar. And they're walking on awful, dangerous ground. Because that is one sin. When you sin against the Holy Spirit, that is an unforgivable sin. And it's the only one. You can curse the Father and be forgiven. You can curse the Son and be forgiven. But to blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God is unforgivable. That's his word, not mine. We were just in with that a few days back. But see, when you don't follow along with us in this study, you're really missing out on a lot of things. And a lot of things that could really help you in this life. because it is not only God's will for you and I to be saved and have life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us, and he wants us to have a good life here on earth so that we can reach out to those that are walking in darkness and help to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to have joy and peace while we are here. And you can, even though you will face things that Satan will bring against you, and he will. Don't make no mistake about that. He's going to hit you with things. Because we are the ones he's after. Those that are walking in darkness right now, he's already got them. It's you and I that he wants, because he wants to bring us away from the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. But when you are a born-again child of God, you have the authority and the use of the name of Jesus that Satan cannot stand against. So you don't have to give in to him. You can stand and tell him when he comes and tries to do something or bring something to you or put something in your mind that shouldn't, or your heart that shouldn't be there. Just tell him, Satan, you and your demons, in Jesus' name, leave me, leave my home, and leave my family, and leave us alone. He's got to go. Now, he ain't going to stay gone, because he's going to come back. Maybe a while. But he will be back when he thinks he has found another way to get into you. We found out there in verse 4 about his speech. No. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your knowledge and your faith and your wisdom should not come from man. That's what we've been talking about since we started here in the Saints. It's all to come from God and his power. Think about it. Now, 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are what? Perfect. There's a word your church don't want to hear. Most of your churches out there does not want to hear that word, because they'll tell you there is none perfect, no, not one. Only Jesus was perfect. But this is not the only time you're going to run into this word and letting you know that they are those out there that have reached that stage. And that's those that are born again. And we're told that. It's in God's word. We'll be getting into a lot more of that as we go on through this New Testament. Now, he goes on here in 6, when he gets through telling them, happy we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to know. He's letting us know. And he's talking about the princes of this world. That's Satan and his demons. And the word tells us that he is the prince of this world. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What you and I have today, and this word that we have and hold, that we call the Holy Bible, and you being a born-again child of God, God knew about it before he even formed this world. Think about that. But you see, he's all-knowing. He knows it all. From beginning to end. We've just been told that. And that was done to bring glory to you and I. His glory to you and I. And we are to return glory to him. Now, 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. You see, Satan didn't know all of this. If Satan had have known all of this, probably a lot of things he done, he wouldn't have done. They got him kicked out of heaven and all. He was the most beautiful angel in heaven. Satan was. Think about that. But you see, that was also why that pride. He wanted to lift himself above our Heavenly Father, above God. Wanted to take his place. But he also had a lot of the angels that were following him. And come to the time they had that war in heaven. And him and a third of all the angels were kicked out of heaven into the earth. God sent them here. Think about it. And we're seeing them at work all around us. And it's going to get worse. But for you and I, things can grow and get better. Will we have more trouble? Probably. But even though we walk with trouble from him, we can still walk in joy because we have that Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ in us. They are here in us that belong to him. We're not left alone by ourselves. We don't go through anything by ourselves. Now, 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That paragraph right there is letting you and I know that we have no idea of what God has really got prepared for us in heaven. For those that will step out of this life and has made heaven their home, you cannot imagine what is waiting there for you. That's why he says that I have not seen, ears heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. He lets us know all things. The only reason we don't know more is because we really, it comes down to most of us being too lazy to really put in the time to study God's word, to learn I made a short trip this morning. I drove by, on my trip, I drove by four churches. Not a one of them meeting. Two of them were closed, permanent, and the other two had no meeting this morning either. Four churches. And I don't know how many more in this county there was this one with no church. But those four were between here and Brandenburg. No services. You think Satan ain't at work? 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Words that he was telling us that we hadn't seen or heard. He's now telling us that God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, that's why we can do things God will call upon us to do, is because of the Holy Spirit that has all this knowledge and shares it with us. It's not going to work, Mark, but we ain't. Now, 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You see, that verse right there is telling you just what I got to tell him. That we don't know things. Outside of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God brings to you and I the memories of God's Word that we have studied before. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. You see, these things that man is wanting in the world, all money and the great things and the best of things, that's not what God's children is supposed to be wanting. Because we haven't received the spirit of this world. We did at one time. From the time we were born until we went to the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, that's what we were following. We were following the spirit of this world. That's why we had so many sins that we had to take to Jesus and ask for forgiveness for. He goes on there in 12 and he says, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God has gave it. And you see, you can't work for it to get it. And you can't buy it with money. It is a free gift of Almighty God when you belong to him. 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'm going to read that verse again. I want you to catch this. But I want the Spirit to reveal the depth of this to you. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That natural man is not that child of God. He's out here walking in darkness and sin, walking in the ways of this world. He's called the natural man. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He's not receiving anything there. For they are foolishness unto him. The things of God are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, for any of us to understand and get the truth of God's word, it takes that discernment of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to give it to us. That's why you hear me teach on it so much. Now, 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now that don't mean you're not going to have people come against you telling you you're lying, telling you this, that, and the other. That's really not judgment. Now, 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to let you think about that for just a moment. That you've got the mind of Christ. How holy of a mind have you got? How spiritual is your mind? Is it like the mind of Christ? When you are that child of the living God, born again, you have within you everything that Christ had in him. Plus, you've got him in you. You've got all the power of heaven in you. It's already here. You don't have to pray for it. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. It's already here. He has already given it. If you've got to go to him and receive it and praise him and thank him for it and know that it has been given and stand in faith until it comes about. That's why he tells us to speak to our mountains. We've just finished with chapter 2 there. We still got some time left. So let's get in here to chapter 3. See if we can't get through it. I don't know. We got 23 verses. But we'll get to where the Lord wants us to go. Verse 1. Paul starts out. He says, "And I, brother, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Because, you see, the Corinthian church had so much working in it that was not the truth of God's word. That's why Paul wrote this letter. And this is actually one of the longest letters Paul wrote. This letter of Corinthians. Now, verse 2. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. You see, he knows that when you first start out, you're weak, and you have to have time and teaching to help you grow. Very few can receive all of this all at the same time. Now, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? It goes on here with verse 4, says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollo, are ye not carnal? And what has mankind done in this day and time? He's done exactly what these two verses has really told him that is carnal and not of God. He built walls, only he don't call them walls. He calls them denominations. And it has caused division among mankind. I can't have a whole lot to do with you at all, and I can't attend your church because you're Presbyterian and I'm Baptist. And my buddy down the street, you know, I can't do a whole lot with him either because he's Methodist. That's the way they think, and you know it is. That's why we have all these different denominations out here, when there should only be one church. And that is the Lord Jesus' church, the one he set up on the day of Pentecost. And we're told in his word, and we'll be getting into that here, probably not too far down the road, but we're told when we are asked what doctrine do we teach, there's only supposed to be one, the apostles' doctrine, this Holy Bible. This is what we're to teach. Not Methodist, not Baptist, not Presbyterian, not Catholic, and all of this. No. His word, God's word tells you that. Preach the apostles' doctrine. And not that apostle doctrine that we've got out here floating around the world. Well, we've got a doctrine claiming to be the apostles' doctrine. And it ain't. It's a doctrine just like the rest of them. Now, 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollo? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. We believe, even as the Lord gives to every man. You see, he gives everyone, every man has a measure of faith. But it's what he done with and what he's doing with it. Most are not using it. Or they're using it for the wrong reason. They're using it to suit themselves. But they're not using it for God. Now, 6. Paul says, I have planted, the piles watered, but God gave the increase. You see, I can teach the word. I can preach this word and teach this word to you, but I cannot make you accept it. I can't give the increase. Only God can. That Holy Spirit has to get a hold of you and pull you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can give you words and help you, because it helps your mind start working toward the Word of God and toward the Holy Spirit, because these are things you didn't have before, and now you're learning of them, and will cause you to think. But only God can give the increase. 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's like within this ministry. I can teach. I can preach. I have two other ministers with me. I have Pastor Dennis, Pastor Kenny. They continue to water. They continue to keep on giving and bringing the word. But we must agree in that word. That's what Paul's talking about. Now, man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You are his building because he lives in you. Places out here we call churches, God don't live there. He's there when we all go and take him. They're meeting places. That's why he tells us in the four Gospels, when he went in and chased all of the money changers and things out of the temple, what did he tell them about his church? He said, this is supposed to be my house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And a lot of that's being done today, too. They're selling stuff out of it instead of giving the word of truth. Now, 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. In other words, you better be building on it according to the word of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. 11. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation. And he is also even the cornerstone in that foundation. 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He's talking about the fire of God. If any man work abides which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, if you are a born-again child of God, and yet you're not really working as you should be working, you're not going to receive very many blessings. And a lot of your work, what work you did do, is going to be tried. Now, you'll be saved if you're a born-again child of God, but you're not going to get many blessings out of it. 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Back here we were told that he lived in us. He lives in us because we are his temple. And he just told you, if we defile that temple with sin in our lives, he just got to tell you what's going to happen to you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. There's no way of denying what he said here. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. In other words, help him to come out of this world and get to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness. You can be wise in the ways of this world. You can go through college and all of this, hold degrees and things, and be smart in the ways of the world, and still be lost, and not make heaven your home. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Because they're all for himself. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. He's letting you know that all three are there. We are dealing with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. We're dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Heavenly Father all within us. You have that awesome of heaven living within you when you are a born-again child of the living God. And we're going to stop there. Still got a few minutes left. I didn't run over. Spirit didn't take us over, but he didn't leave us too much time. But as far as I'm concerned, we could go on for hours. Because I'm putting in a lot of times, a lot of evenings. I'll spend all evening sitting and praising God. And I'm growing stronger each and every day. I'm growing in knowledge more every day. And as I see the things of this world that is happening out here, I know that it's not going to be near as long as what mankind thinks it'll be until the Lord's going to be coming for his church. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word with each other and with you so that you know, Father, that we are in your word. Because you know everything. And we ask you, Father, as we ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to this, your word, so that we have the truth, Father, and grow thereby. Now, Father, We pray for those out there that will hear this message that's walking with sickness. I pray, Father, that they will understand and receive the healing for that sickness, because they are healed by his stripes that was given 2,000 years ago. It's not something they have to pray down out of heaven. It has already been given. Jesus took it all to the cross. And we're told in your word that we are healed by his stripes. Now, use your faith. Lay claim to that healing. Tell your body you're healed, you're whole. It may not happen right that moment, but if you continue to hold on to it, it will come about. It was done when you prayed about it. Now, Father, I'm praying that each one of us that heard this message this evening will find one more to bring to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring one more into the church, whether it is by internet or in person. Now, Father, watch over us through the night. Keep us safe. Keep us in health. And as we lay down tonight, Father, let us rest, peace, raise in the morning, refreshed to face another day and to do the work that we are called upon to do, to bring fruit unto you, Father, and to help someone else along life's pathway. Now, Father, keep us all on the pathway of righteousness. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within each one of our families for those that are walking in darkness, and help to bring them from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost, and all can make heaven their home. And Father, we do pray for peace for Israel. Right now, Father, they're not having much peace at all. But we are praying for them, Father. They are yours. We know they are your people, just as we are now. But it is by them, Father, that we have your word so that we can grow and be what you want us to be. Now, Father, hear us when we cry unto thee, and as we stand upon your promises. Your promise was that you would supply our needs. We know that you keep your promises. Man may back out, but we know you don't. Now, Father, watch over us. And we ask all of this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, God bless. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great evening. Good evening now. Be with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye now.